Buenas, y bienvenidos al séptimo episodio de TechCasteros. Nuestro invitado de hoy es el Dr. Pratt Rogers, profesor de la Universidad de Utah. Hoy platicaremos sobre la adopción de la automatización en la industria minera y sus retos.
Okay, hello everyone. Welcome to another episode of TechCasteros, our IT podcast. And today we have a special guest, Pratt Rogers, Dr. Pratt Rogers, right?
Yeah, I got a bit accused.
Yes, and we're going to talk about automation in the mining industry and the value of data. And before we talk some more, I also want to introduce our co-hosts, Fabian Valenzuela and Uriel Bravo, both are amazing software developers, part of Alio IT. And thank you guys for joining and participating. And so let me start off with a little background. Pratt and I used to work together at a data warehousing company, which we did a lot of work for mines primarily. Although, you know, we could have worked with other types of industries because it's sort of like universal. And so there's a lot of challenges in mining, and interesting challenges. And certainly people like Pratt have researched and worked on approaches, different approaches to resolve or solve these challenges. And well, our topic is automation and the value of data. So I would like to kick it off with probably discussing with you which are the main reasons that you found that have caused people to adopt automation, just in general terms, like in all industries, before we jump into actual mining.
Yeah, I mean, if I think about processes that, you know, are repeated over time and you have a lot of control over the environment and certain variables, it makes sense to, you know, apply some automation and to, you know, have more control, right? And to control your, understand what your inputs and then you have control of the outputs. And, you know, on the plant side, you know, mining, automation in mining has been around for a long time, but mainly on the plant side of things. So the mineral processing or, you know, materials handling piece, it's, you know, I think a large part of mining really was pushing the mineral processing and process control really was developed in mining environments and then this spread and adopted in other disciplines and taken much further. On the, you know, on the mining side, so the extraction or you know, at the mine site, it's more challenging because you have far more variables you need to control. There are elements of automation you can make a case that it, you know, where you can remove the human from high energy zones, which, you know, from an underground place and the surface that has high energy zones kind of manifest themselves differently. But, you know, certain forms of automation allows for that continual removal of the human from high energy zones, which has reduced fatalities and injuries. And I think that's going to be a significant driver of, you know, of getting to zero harm, which is a goal for both, for I think really all mining companies, is removal of human from high energy zones. You know, depending on the locations, I think workforce trends is going to be, you know, a driver for adoption of automation, especially in mines in our rural areas. And, you know, getting workforce to come and operate a haul truck, which, you know, there's technology exists to automate those processes. I think one thing about COVID and especially here in the States and in these rural areas is the labor disruption has been significant. And I think it's going to change the value proposition for automation for a lot of mining companies. There's probably another few other angles we could go, but that's probably some things to think about.
I apologize. When I introduced you, I forgot to mention you're a professor currently at the University of Utah, right?
That is correct. Yeah. So assistant professor, been at University of Utah since 2016.
Cool. So yeah, like automation is being adopted exponentially around the world. You know, we're talking about also self-driving cars, self-driving trucks. There's some companies out there that want to push for also having self-driving trucks in mines, particularly. And that's super interesting. And so far, how fast do you think that would happen, where we would actually see, you know, like real mines operating with? Well, maybe they are already, but maybe in the underground it's more common. But I'm not sure about open pit mines. How fast do you think that adoption could happen?
So, you know, I think Western Australia has really proven that, you know, automation on the surface can work. Like that was, if you look at some of the work that's been done in those very remote where they have fly in, fly out operations and a haul truck driver, they're extremely expensive. So I think the technology has been proven there. And, you know, one of the, you know, it, and that will continue to drive down costs and adoption from, you know, for haul truck sort of automation. And, you know, underground, you know, there's a strong use case in the value proposition for automation on, because you really are, you know, if you remove the human from those high energy zones or potential energy zones, you were able to change your unit of operations, your cycling of operations significantly, and you can increase utilization of your assets. And so there's a strong value proposition there. You know, but at the same time, you know, one of the things I think is an underrated sort of dimension of automation is, you know, there's a value proposition that mines bring to, say, local stakeholders. And essentially it's this, like, we're going to come, we're going to consume some natural capital, meaning that there's going to be potential for us to disrupt views or the environment. And we do reclamation, we can minimize our impacts, but there's still going to be environmental impacts. There's still going to be disruption of natural capital. But the idea is that through a mining process and generating wealth, you can exchange that natural capital or some social capital through hiring, and then with hiring, you know, people, and then they can then improve their quality of life, send their kids to school, et cetera, and, you know, provide a living wage. That sort of give and take between stakeholders and mining companies will change with when you are, you know, automating jobs that, you know, and so, you know, those royalties or some of that social capital exchange will need to be rethought and revalued.
Okay. You mentioned high energy zones, just so that we understand what you mean by that. Can you explain a little bit more what you mean by high energy zones?
Yeah. So when you have a lot of kinetic energy and iron or you know, the human always loses. If a human comes in contact or flesh comes in contact with those higher energy, sort of kinetic energy, mechanical energy, or
okay,
they always lose. The human always lose. And then if you get to potential energy, which, you know, exists in stresses on slopes or underground with you know, with your ground control, when those things kind of when you have a release or an unplanned release of that energy, you know, humans always lose in those. And so when I think about removing the human, it is even putting, you know, you can put barriers, you can put in engineered controls for those and they work, but you do have failures. And so
primarily like danger zones, like you want to make sure that the person is in a safe place when they're working. And
that's right.
So automation can improve safety.
Yeah. And you definitely just reduce the risk to the humans in those systems.
Cool. Well, before I continue yapping, I want to see if maybe Fabiano or Uriel want to ask something. I still have questions, but I want to make sure that everyone asks something if they want to. I think you're on mute. The most popular phrase since the pandemic, you're on mute.
Always, yeah.
There you are.
So for the automation, we haven't been touched the subject about semi-automated systems. I have talked with some of the some organizations that deal with security on mines. They were developing semi-automated, or actually for trucks, like Alfonso mentioned before, mostly for preventing accidents. For example, if a mining personnel is close enough to the truck or machinery, it takes over the control of the machine and stops or something like that. But I haven't actually, at least in the mining industry, haven't seen any deployments of technology like that. I don't know if you have.
I haven't seen it. I had a car once that had that technology, right? Where if it was detecting you, you know, if you're swerving out of a lane, that it would auto correct. I never used it. I never turned it on. And I think with in the automotive industry, there's, you know, greater research and development on that level of technology than there is in mining. And I haven't particularly heard of, I can see a really strong use case for it with collision avoidance, and it's just the sensors that used to inform that automation really have to be quite strong and sturdy and exist in a really tough environment. And so it makes it very difficult to really trust those systems that they're going to work. So, I haven't really heard of a specific case where those are being widely deployed. You might see that be, you know, I know the United States with some regulations on collision avoidance, as those come down the pipe, that might force the hand to see, have more of those in there. I mean, a few years ago we had a haul truck come in contact with a kind of a shift change vehicle and killed like three folks in that van. And a system like that would have, I think, could have prevented that from happening. So, you know,
there's still a lot of, and in Brazil, do you remember the dam that got overrun or something, that, you know, mm-hmm. flooded the towns? And so there's still a lot of danger associated with mining, and hopefully those things stop happening, and maybe automation can help. I'm not in the particular case of the flood, but maybe other cases like the self-driving cars, collision avoidance, things like that.
Right. I mean, with the great thing about automation from the case of the flood of placement of material, right? Like there's in tailings dams, you have really, you know, critical design factors that require certain material to be placed at a certain spot in a dam, and having control over that with automation could really increase the integrity of those earthworks and really reduce, you know, things like a tailings failure happening. But there's just not a lot of, there are a lot of tailings dams, but the market for that and to develop that sort of technology just isn't there. And I don't think you don't get the research and development money to look at what that looks like or to develop those sort of tools, unique applications. So.
Yeah, that's why I think there's a lot of unique situations in mining, because we're dealing with nature, and nature is very unpredictable, and trying to automate things to counteract natural events. Although right. the tailings dam thing wasn't that natural of an event, probably bad planning or, you know, like you were saying, bad control. But yeah. Still, I think that's what makes it more challenging. Sorry for that. You're saying,
mm-hmm. And, you know, with, I think when you have a cyclical nature of mining, well, every industry has its cycles, but mining can be pretty severe. And, you know, when you get into really, you know, difficult times, you sacrifice, you know, you adjust operational plans that can sometimes sacrifice the integrity of whatever earthwork you're building, or and that's a it's a, kind of a scary thought. And I think something in mining we need to do much better at and have far more control.
Yeah, especially considering that, how, like you mentioned, both of you, the cost of developing these technologies, even though we have been making great progress in that area, for example, with planes, that they have self-landing systems or something like that, they are not built for the mining environment ecosystem. Yeah. So I don't think we are that far off, maybe, with the right, because the need is there, right? Just like you said, the cost of developing, deployment, and testing all of this to make sure it actually works and helps the industry might be something to look forward to. And you mentioned before the help of the community around mines. For example, when a company goes to a town to build a mine and all the stuff, generally speaking, they bring, like you say, employment and all that stuff. Did you think that this change of environment with more automated systems is going to affect that, or in which way it's going to affect the in-person human factor?
It will definitely change some of those dynamics, but it could be for the better, right? Like with more control of the outcomes of a mine or the outcomes of some sort of earthwork, like there's benefits that come from that. There's a trust in integrity of design but, you know, changing where, you know, the job density and the multiples that come from mining and having those jobs is a significant part of the kind of the social license that mines try to get, and it will change. Now it will also change that some of the jobs that are left in some future state of mining are going to be probably higher wage, and there's some benefits that come from that. But I feel that it will only put more pressure on the gap of inequality, like wealth inequalities that exist in some of these rural areas, which will only, I think, increases social risk and political risk to, you know, mines being able to get permits.
Yeah, and as you said, with bigger wages, it's going to, I believe it's going to help the community in general, because right now with my generation and the ones that come after us, we are really highly educated generations, but we're lacking the proper places to develop as professionals, right?
Yeah.
We're lacking the employment opportunity and all that. And I think maybe changing a little bit of that, like making work that really needs you to study like that and taking all that risk with higher wages and all, it's going to help, really.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so it can be tricky. Also, we wanted to talk about, Uriel unmuted himself. You want to ask something, Uriel? Go ahead.
it was going to be something about what we are really, are we talking right now? Like, I can see the advantages. There's some clear advantages on the automation side, like preventing the risk and all that stuff. But I've been noticing recently the mining workers or just regular people without a degree or any, maybe not young, in their 40s, 50s, that seems to, they had concerns because everything is going to an automation. So how do we reconcile that aspect with the society, with the people that you can say is being left behind?
Right.
Because they are already Like maybe they feel they are all too old to learn a new trade or something like that.
Yeah, that one's going. I think it's a very difficult question to answer. I do think that, you know, market pressures in the long run will kind of level out and adjust that. I think you still have a lot of people that are going to be needed to, say, maintain, right? Like maintain equipment. I go to a lot of mines here in the Mountain West that are constantly looking for diesel mechanics. And they're just not enough of these mechanics to, feel the need. And I'd say, jobs like that will come up. I think there'll be unintended additional stuff that additional jobs that we're not thinking about that will present themselves. But I'd say that, for the existing generation, this is going to be tough. But for the rising generations, I think they're going to be pretty used to flexibility in their jobs, and the market will respond to this disruption that's going to come from automation.
So that's that's what I want to talk about a little bit more. Or next is, the adoption of automation, and you have an article which we read before this podcast. I try to stay awake. I'm kidding. It's a great article. and you talk about strategies towards incremental automation. Which can you talk to us a little bit about, how that strategy could be?
Right. I think sometimes we have when we initially start thinking about automation, we have kind of, I don't know if it's naive is the right word, but we initially go to everything in the mines is fully automated, and we snap our fingers and poof, every process, every task in the mine's automated. And I don't see that, really happening, especially for existing mines. Now you can talk about like, say, a greenfield, so a new mine is coming on board in 10 years from now. Yeah, you can probably architect that and engineer it to be fully automated. But this adoption, it'll be incremental, and incremental adoption of automation comes with a lot of challenges. When you have a program or some sort of algorithm that's running a piece of equipment and that behaves pretty linearly, it's going to do exactly what you tell it to do or what its artificial intelligence is programmed to respond to changing conditions. And you mix those with humans that behave erratically and very, non-linearly, it is, you're going to introduce a lot of risks and a lot of new hazards. And there'll be a lot of unintended consequences to that. And I think it has the potential to be kind of clunky. And really truly getting the true return of investment of some of this technology is going to be difficult. And so I think where I'm going with this is that, just like any other tool, you're going to have to assess, your mine plan. You're going to need to assess the tasks and the systems to execute that mine plan. Where is going to be our automation going to come from if we adopt them, and really have a sound plan to support that automation, and also to support the interactions of the other tasks and the sub processes that aren't automated? Because what you can do is if it's not fully fully autonomous, you're going to shift production bottlenecks to other processes, and being able to respond to those in a dynamic way. You're going to have a lot of really good engineers and folks to support systems like that.
Right, and you mentioned return on investment. That's a big, big thing, a big deal in any business. Like, how, you know, if I buy this super new automated whatever, you know, how long will it be until I start, you know, seeing a return?
Right.
And I think that's a big, you know, that's a big thing to overcome in any business, and in mining. You know, we've had that experience where we've prepared material to justify investing in, you know, technologies like data warehousing, which is now is like, you know, everywhere, but back then it wasn't that common. But, you know, for other things like justifying the investment, and that is also difficult. But, you know, and Fabian sort of touched upon this, is like the new generations are more tech savvy, and I think they are expecting some level of, you know, automation, and I think that will help a lot for the advancement of or development of, you know, new technologies for mining or for any other kind of business. What do you mentioned workforce future, so that's also a big thing in mining, right? Like the lack of skilled workforce, because it's maybe not as attractive to go work in a mine where, you know, it's below 20 degrees every day or whatever. I'm talking about Celsius, maybe Fahrenheit. I can't make the conversion right now. But what kind of things do you see happening in the workforce? Like what trends or what are mines doing to overcome that problem where they can't, you know, have the right amount of workforce at their mines? Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think you're still, to get really good automation, you're really going to have to understand the kind of some of your environmental factors, your geological factors, your inputs. So I think mines will have to spend more money on collecting geological data more consistently, have far more precision in that. So that's more drill holes, you know, exploration drill holes, or you know, more mapping that's done with, say, blast holes or whatever. But collecting that geological data is going to, we're going to continue to do that. It's going to need to be far more precise, and that's going to lead to, you know, what I would hopefully be far more precise mine plans. And I mean, precise is that you create a short range plan, and you have enough iterations on that, that this whatever automation algorithms that are running the mine, you spit out those parameters from your plan, and they are absorbed into this, in these algorithms, and that the equipment is able to execute. And so that's a level of precision that I don't know of too many mining operations that have that level of precision in the short range mine planning group. So I think about that a lot, is to what does that mean? And from an academic point of view, how can we, you know, improve that capability in mine planning so that the bottleneck isn't of sorts, is it, maybe it's an intellectual bottleneck, isn't shifting to the mine planning group, and that they're ready, that, you know, that we're ready to respond to that sort of environment. You know, I think we're going to, when I look at this in general, as the world becomes more automation, we're going to have to understand humanities and social society a bit much better. And I don't think we're doing a very good job at that right now for a variety of factors. I think I've heard, say, Mark Cuban, you know, talk about this before on a podcast once on, you know, the future is going to be, you know, humanities, folks that understand sociology and humanities will become much more valued when a lot of the technology stuff is automated. You know, and I think sometimes there's this naive thing, we just need to teach everybody to code. You know, but I look at trends in automation. You know, I think automation is going to disrupt coding, software engineering, database programming far more quickly than other disciplines, say like a mining discipline. Like, you know, right. So much code is now being automated. And there's a lot of interesting sort of, you know, artificial intelligence that's going into, you know, abstracting what you say and moving that and generating a code base. And that is going to replace a lot of jobs. And so it's going to be very hard to predict. So as far as a workforce, I think flexibility is and being able to be dynamic is mm-hmm. I think it's
going
to be
a
highly rated thing. Mm-hmm.
The human instinct would be impossible to automate, I think.
Right.
Because the human instinct is like, you know, you have your hunches or you feel something and that'll be very, I mean, obviously some people want to automate that or achieve some sort of automation of that. And also what things sort of keep you from sleeping when you know, you're very much involved in research and in these sort of things, what are the things sort of like keep you from sleeping, you know, like problems that you've seen at mines that don't necessarily have a clear solution?
I mentioned short-range planning. That one comes to mind a lot. I don't think, you know, if we've spent some time, Alfonso in our previous time, like looking at mine-to-mill sort of applications of whole system, you know, optimization from, you know, for some mines, it's you know, looking at, you know, it's called, you know, mine-to-mill sort of optimization. Being able to set up management systems, the planning and all the technical support to you know, put all those things in place. And when you introduce automation, you know, or you higher levels of automation in that, as I mentioned, it is quickly, you know, the field of mining engineering is needing to respond. And I don't think that we're doing enough research and development in that area for workforce development. And, you know, I think we have companies that are, you know, doing that. You see startups and modeling and that I think they're doing some really good stuff. But it's really, you know, commercial centric, and it should be, because you need to have those incentives, but there are some, you know, fundamentals and the first principles that of mining engineering that I think get overlooked when there's not investment, say, at universities. And I think about that a lot because that's kind of my job, and we are trying to produce this next generation of engineers that can adapt to new technology, that want to, you know, translate the first principles of mining engineering into these socio-technical systems that they're quickly, they join after they graduate these mining where. And I think that's one, you know, that's kind of a long-winded answer, but that's one thing I think a lot about. Honestly, technology is going to be easy. I just think, you know, technology is going to continually to move forward. Mining, to some degree, will continue to innovate. We have different market pressures that will, I think, influence the pace of that change. But we'll continue to have this new technology. And the key thing is the workforce and being able to translate these first principles of mining into this new technology and application of technology. So
cool. Well, I think very close to it. I want to ask you one last question. Are you optimistic about the future of automation in mining?
I teach an introduction to mining engineering class in the fall, so I'm right in the middle of that now. And I usually start out with I look out emerging, I started out with, you know, with discussions on emerging technology. And I'm in general, I say this, the rising generation, my generation, we're some of the luckiest batch of humans that's ever existed. Like, we have a lot of challenges, but every society and time has challenges. But our things can be overcome. And we have such great opportunities to apply innovation to improve human quality in our, and so I am optimistic, you know, that we'll be able to adapt to these innovations to reduce our footprints from natural footprints to human impacts across the board. We're going to have to, right? Like, you know, to get to this, you know, kind of these, some of these green, you know, economies where we need natural resources to do that. And I think automation and technological innovation is going to allow us to do that with smaller footprints. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to do this in an environment where we have declining ore grades. So that means we're going to have to be a lot smarter. And I think that means there's lots of opportunity to attract. And so, and also this, I say I'm optimistic very much. And it kind of goes back to one of the last questions. One thing that keeps me up is that we have to shape mining so we attract some of the top talent. Like, how can we attract engineers or you know, into this discipline so that we have some of the best human capital? Because these are really complex problems of transforming natural capital resources into a marketable commodity. And there is a lot of challenges. I think about that a lot of how we recruit folks into the mining discipline. But I'm pretty confident we'll be able to do that.
Of course, great answer. Like you said, humanity depends on the ability of people to automate, because you know we can't keep consuming as we are and polluting and all those things, because that I think that's one of the main reducing the carbon footprint, like you said. That's the world requires that. Cool. So I think that's it. I don't know if Fabiano or Uriel want to ask one last question before we.
Yeah. So maybe on the note that you have touched recently, how much time are we talking about right here? For example, with what I mentioned before, with the technologies and all that, maybe. And what you mentioned about the engineers and recruiting and gathering some talent and all that, I don't see a near future, right, of this kind of new age industry for the mining system. Not because there's no talent or technology isn't existing yet, maybe not in the form we need it, but maybe in development. How long in the future do you see this industry really working in a feasible way, right? Where it helps all the people involved.
Right. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, Western Australia is going to advance. They're proven that you can automate mines, and Rio Tinto's done some really interesting stuff with the largest robot in the world with their automated rail, you know, from mine to port, right? And I think that's really proven. And this is a big if right now, if you can get a greenfield mining operation permitted in the United States, meaning that's just a new mine permit. Now, there are being mines permitted, but they're really extremely difficult. I would say those mines, as they're getting, going to be designed, they're going to be designed with automation in mind. And that's, there'll be different forms of what that looks like. And so, and then, So as far as, yeah, so timings, that's a difficult one to predict. I don't see, you know, say like some of these large mines, you know, shifting and changing their existing fleets to automated fleets fully. That may be difficult. Like, you know, if you might have some labor disruptions that come from, say, something different than, say, a COVID pandemic, that would definitely change that timing. But I still remember about 10 years ago, someone from Caterpillar says, in 10 years, everything's going to be automated, right? And they had that same 10 years before that. I would say the technology's there. It's the market pressures and the amount of money that it takes to adopt and legacy systems and all those really, you know, change this adoption sort of budgets and return on investments. So that's a long-winded, didn't really answer your question, answer.
Don't worry about it. Yeah, I get it. Maybe it's not that we cannot start doing that changes right now, but it's a long way, not only for the mining industry, but in general for the social of it all and the political, because for example, here in Mexico, most of the mining, it's done for by foreign companies, and they have to adapt to Mexican policies and all that. Yeah.
So I say the technology's there, and it's proven in Western Australia, but the application of those in this full kind of whole system thing is a different for every region. So I would say like regions like in Nevada, you know, where the mines are like 2 hours from where most people live, there's going to be significant pressure to get, you know, that work, to get some of those tasks automated to reduce some of that risk. But everywhere is going to have different pressures. So.
All right. So I think that's it. Don't worry, Pratt. They're used to me not answering their questions. So you know, they're used to asking and then I'm answering something that didn't answer the question.
Well, this has been fun. I do like talking about technology and innovation in mining. I think it's we need to, as an industry, you know, be able to showcase. And that was, I'm just coming off from Mine Expo, you know, in Nevada, and so we run a lot of cool technology, a lot of focus. That was electrification. But I asked my students, it's like, yeah, electrification is cool, but why don't we have nuclear powered haul trucks, right? Or nuclear powered shovels, right? And, you know, to where, you know, they thought I was kind of crazy with that one. Maybe I am, but I find some of those things that, you know, this innovation in energy is going to be fundamental. So as well.
Right. Cool. Well, thank you a lot for your, thanks a lot.
Happy
to time, do Pratt. Amazing talking to you again, and hopefully we can talk again soon. And also thank you, Fabian and Uriel, for your time. And stay tuned.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.